Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Russian oil exports. As I'm sure everybody is aware, the European ban on the purchase of crude oil transported over the sea came into effect on the 5th of December. And we've also got a refined products oil ban coming in on the 5th of February. So in today's video, we'll have a look at the current volumes of oil being exported out of Russia. We'll see what the trend is. We'll look at what's happening with regards to shipping, because as part of the oil price cap that was introduced also on the 5th of December, there's a restricted price of $60 per barrel that's being applied against Russian exports. Otherwise, they're not able to access any of the shipping services from Europe. So we'll have a look at what's going on with regards to shipping right now. We'll then have a look at the price of Russian oil, because it's still trading at a discount to standard crude oil. We'll then have a look at the details of who's continuing to buy Russian oil and what the implications of this are as the refined products ban comes in. We'll then have a look at refined products. We'll look at the refinery process. We'll look at the different types of products that are produced and why this is going to be potentially a bigger challenge for Russia. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to how effective the European ban is now proving to be, what the implications of this are for Russia and its revenues, and what's likely to happen when the refined products ban comes in next month. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. And regular viewers will notice that the lighting has changed again today. I'm still waiting for all of the lights to turn up, so this isn't the final version. But I'm gradually starting to change things up. I'm trying to lower the lighting a little bit to make it a bit easier to view on all different formats. So please let me know what you think. As I said, this isn't the final version, but it's a move towards what I'm trying to achieve. This chart shows the total export volume of crude oil coming out of Russia over the last 12 months and takes us up to the current position. The different colours on this chart show the different destinations, and starting at the bottom, the red section is China, the light blue section is the European Union, the green section is Egypt, the beige or brown section is India, the grey section is other destinations, the dark green or turquoise is Turkey, purple is the United States, and dark red is unknown. And there are two key dates marked on this chart. At the beginning of March, the first set of sanctions were applied against Russia by the West. And on the 5th of December, the European Union ban on the purchase of crude oil exported over the sea and also the oil price cap were both imposed against Russia. So before we get into the details on what's been happening since those two bans came in, let's take a step back and have a look at the overall picture here. The scale on the left-hand side shows the revenues that Russia were earning per day for the sale of this crude oil, measured in millions of euros, and the scale goes from 0 to 400. So you can see that this time last year, Russia was earning around 220 million euros per day. And in the month following the invasion, that revenue actually increased to around 320 million euros per day. And that was as a result of the large increase in the price of oil. Russia was having to sell its oil at a discount. However, because oil prices shot up so dramatically, even selling at a discount meant that it was earning more in terms of gross revenues. However, if you look at the colour breakdown, you can see that in the middle of March, the volume of oil being purchased by the EU, the blue section, dropped significantly, as a lot of countries in Europe declared that they no longer wanted to buy Russian oil and started sourcing from elsewhere. And this reduction in the volume of sales caused the total revenue per day for Russia to drop to around 250 million euros. In order to offset the drop in volumes that Russia was seeing from Europe, it then started offering large discounts to India. And you can see that the brown section in the middle of this chart representing sales to India increased dramatically from the middle of March through to the middle of July. And in addition to those sales, you can see that the sales to China also increased as the red section gets larger. And Russia also increased the volume of sales to Egypt, which is shown in the green section in the middle of this chart, and Turkey, which is the turquoise section at the top. And by the start of July, Russia was earning around 350 million euros per day from the sale of crude oil. Now, as I'm sure you'll be aware if you follow the channel, from July onwards, we started to see a slowdown in the global economy. And as a result of that, the demand for oil fell and the price of oil also fell. And you can see the direct impact of the falling oil price on Russian revenues between July and October. And during this period, the volume of sales to the EU also fell. And as a result of this, by the start of October, Russian revenue from crude oil sales had fallen back to around 250 million euros per day. Now, the period between the start of October and the start of December is a really interesting one, because during that time, the EU countries were still permitted to buy and order crude oil from Russia for delivery over the sea. Even though the ban was coming on the 5th of December, they were still entitled to make those orders right up until the 4th of December. And what we saw was a number of countries, including Germany and Italy, taking advantage of the fact that Russian oil was trading at a major discount in the markets, and they bought large quantities in advance of the ban coming in. So you can see that the blue section at the bottom actually increased throughout that period. And in addition to that, there was also an increase in purchases from India and China as prices fell in the international markets, and they decided that this was a good time to increase their volumes. And by the start of December, Russia's revenue from crude oil sales was back up to around 300 million euros per day. If we now look at what's happened between the 5th of December and today, you can see that there has been a major drop in the total revenue being earned by Russia. It took a month or so for all of the orders made by the EU prior to the ban coming in to actually be fulfilled. So you can see the blue section actually tapers down and is now sitting at zero. So the EU is no longer buying any crude oil from Russia that's transported over the sea. In addition to that, the volumes being purchased by China have also reduced as a result of concerns over the growth of the Chinese economy. And alongside that reduction, there's also been a reduction in the purchases from India. Now, some of these purchases have been offset by increased volumes to Egypt and other countries. However, the total drop of around 100 million euros per day on an annualized basis would equate to over 36 billion euros, which is pretty much $36 billion, which is clearly a material drop in revenues for Russia. And this chart shows the revenues earned from oil products and chemicals over the course of the last 12 months. And the colour coding here is exactly the same as the previous chart. So the big blue section across the middle represents sales to the EU. Now, the reason that I wanted to show this is that there is currently no ban in place on refined products. That ban is not due to come into effect until the 5th of February. So EU countries are currently entitled to keep buying refined products directly from Russia. And you can see the overall shape of this chart is very similar to what we've just seen. This time last year, Russia was earning around 135 million euros per day from refined products. Shortly after the invasion of Ukraine, the revenues increased to around 180 million euros per day as a result of the huge increase in the price of all of these products. But interestingly, unlike the crude oil purchases, there was not a significant reduction in purchases from the EU immediately following the invasion. They have reduced over the last 12 months, but the reduction has been far more gradual than it was for crude oil. And the reason for that is that the supply chain for refined products is a lot more finely balanced. Refineries have a capacity limit, and therefore it's not easy to be able to switch up the amount of gasoline and diesel production overnight. So Europe quickly realized that it had a dependency on the supply of refined products from Russia, and these were going to be much more difficult to replace. And that's why the reduction has been much more gradual. Now, the other thing about refined products is that there are a number of different types. You've got gasoline and diesel and kerosene and jet fuel and a variety of others. We'll go through that later in the video. And because there's lots of derivative products and different markets have different demand depending on what their usage is, transporting refined products is much more costly and tends to be done on smaller vessels. It's far easier to load a very large crude carrier with huge volumes of crude oil and let each country do their own refining into the different products, rather than doing it in Russia and then moving lots and lots and lots of different ships. And you can see that there hasn't been a huge increase in the purchases from either China or India of refined products because of that reason. Now, the ban on refined products and also a price cap on refined products is due to come in on the 5th of February, so it's not in effect yet. But when that does kick in, it's going to have major implications for both Europe and Russia. If you look at where the sales are today, you can see that Russia is earning a similar amount to what it was earning this time last year, around about 135 million euros per day. But if you look at the breakdown of where those sales are being made into, more than half are still going to the EU. So Russia has a huge dependency on the EU. And once those sales stop, then the revenue that Russia is earning is likely to drop significantly and could be as low as 50 million euros per day. And the big challenge for Russia is how are they going to replace those lost sales? Because it's much more expensive to transport refined products, and India and China have their own refineries, so they don't need to buy the finished product. They can just take crude oil and make it themselves. This chart shows the breakdown of the ownership and/or the insurance of the ships that are actually transporting Russian oil over the course of the last 12 months. The scale on the left-hand side here is in percentages and goes from 0 to 100%. The blue section at the bottom represents ships that are either owned or insured directly by the EU and the G7, so collectively the West. The dark blue section represents ships owned by Norway, and the grey section at the top are other countries. So what this chart shows is that 12 months ago, around 85% of all of the ships that Russia was using were provided or insured directly by the EU, the G7 and Norway. Now, over the course of the last 12 months, that percentage has dropped, but it is still sitting at around 60% today. And this second chart shows exactly the same statistics over the same period, but for refined oil products. And you can see that the starting number was virtually identical. Around 85% of all of the ships were provided by the EU, G7 and Norway. However, if you look at the position right now, you can see that the percentage is almost the same. It's still above 80%. And the reason that these statistics are so important is that they have a direct relationship to the oil price cap. The oil price cap that was introduced by the EU on the 5th of December states that Russia is not permitted to sell oil to any country above $60 per barrel. And this has been designed to minimize the amount of profit that Russia is making from that oil, to reduce the revenues, and therefore put pressure onto the government to stop the war in Ukraine. That's what it's designed to do. And the way that the oil price cap is being implemented is that all of the shipping services, so the provision of actual vessels and insurance and brokerage and lots of other shipping related products, all require official documentation confirming that the price of the oil that's being transported has been sold for less than $60 per barrel. And if it isn't, then none of those services will be provided. And that would cause Russia a major problem because obviously they wouldn't be able to actually move any of the oil. Now, Russia has come out and categorically stated that it will not supply any oil to any country that signs up to the oil price cap. So they vetoed this idea completely. And that potentially would be fine if Russia had access to its own shipping fleet and its own insurance services. But as you can see from these charts, Russia is still entirely dependent on the EU, the G7 and Norway for the provision of those ships and those shipping services. And in order to keep using those services, all the deals that Russia does have to be done below $60 per barrel. So they may have said that they refuse to sign up to this oil price cap, but let's have a look at the reality of where Russian oil is actually trading. This chart shows the movement in the price of Russian oil over the course of the last 12 months. And what we saw occurring with regards to the price of Russian oil very quickly after the invasion of Ukraine was that it started trading at a significant discount to Brent crude oil. The discount was somewhere in the region of $20 to $30 per barrel. So the dip in the price of oil that you can see between March and June on this chart represented the period when that discount was being established, and Russia was actually offering even higher discounts through that period. However, since the end of June, there's been a much closer correlation between Brent crude oil and this price. And as you can see, over the course of the last 6 months, the price of Russian oil has fallen from a high of around $100 per barrel to where we are today of around $58 per barrel. And this is in line with what's happened in the international markets as global trade has slowed down and the outlook for 2023 has been reduced. Demand for oil has fallen and so has the price. But if we now look specifically at what's been happening to the price of Russian oil since the EU ban and the oil price cap came in on the 5th of December, on that date, the price of Russian oil was recorded as being $61.6 per barrel. So that is obviously above the $60 limit. However, since that day, the price of Russian oil has traded below $60. So no deals have been done that would affect the oil price cap. But the question is, has the discount that Russia is offering increased to keep the price of Russian oil below the $60 cap? This chart plots the price difference between Russian oil and Brent crude oil, dating back to the end of January, so before Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And the scale on the left-hand side is measured in US dollars per barrel and goes from zero at the top to minus 40 at the bottom. So you can see that prior to the war starting, there was very little difference in the price of Russian and Brent crude oil. However, by the middle of April, Russia was offering a discount of $37 per barrel in order to encourage people to buy Russian oil. And the discount stayed at around about that level until the middle of June. However, between the end of June and the end of December, the discount actually reduced to around $23. But if we now look at what's been happening since the 5th of December, you can see that there's been a marked increase in the discount for Russian oil. And the discount today is now above $32, which is the highest level that's been seen since the middle of June. And in view of the fact that Russia is still dependent on shipping services from the West, the big question is, if oil prices do go up, if the price of Brent crude oil does go up to $80 or $90 or $100 per barrel, will Russia try to increase its prices, or will they just continue to increase the discount to make sure that they stay below the $60 price cap so that they can still use those shipping services without officially signing up to the cap? This chart plots the movement of all Russian fossil fuel exports in the week between the 8th of January and the 15th of January. And I think what's interesting about this chart is the huge distances that some of these ships are having to travel to export this oil, which was previously going to Europe, which is obviously much closer from Russia's point of view. So there's obviously been a big increase in transport costs and the associated environmental impact. And this chart shows the five largest importers of Russian fossil fuels in the week ended the 15th of January. So you can see that the biggest buyer was China, which purchased around 700 million euros worth of fuel. But a very close second was the EU, which also purchased a similar amount. India was the third largest buyer, purchasing around 300 million euros worth of fuel. Turkey was a close fourth. And the fifth largest purchaser was South Korea, which purchased around 150 million euros of fuel. And if we look at the breakdown of what the European Union was actually buying from Russia, it's split into three different sections. The black section at the bottom is pipeline gas. Now, if you've been following the channel, you'll know that Europe has been struggling to replace the pipeline gas that it was buying previously from Russia because it involves setting up a lot of liquefied natural gas facilities, and that's expensive and takes time. So a number of countries in Europe have been given a dispensation to continue taking pipeline gas because it's difficult to be able to set that up if you don't have large coastal areas. So the pipeline gas is still authorized. So those sales are likely to continue over the next 6 to 12 months. But the oil products section in the center here, the green section, relates to the refined products that we've been talking about in this video. So as you'll know, the ban comes in on the 5th of February. So from the 5th of February onwards, all of those sales will disappear from this chart. The section at the top in blue is crude oil coming through the pipelines. And for some countries in Europe, it's a similar scenario to the situation with gas, because if you're landlocked, it's difficult to be able to get large volumes of oil delivered into all of your refineries. So some countries have been given a dispensation. So the challenge from Russia's perspective is that this green section from the EU will be disappearing at some point over the next few weeks. And this represents around 200 million euros of revenue per week. And just out of interest, I thought it was worth looking at the breakdown of which countries were buying those fossil fuels from Russia in the week ending 15th of January. And as you can see, the biggest purchaser with around 115 million euros worth of deals was Germany, followed closely by Austria, Slovakia, Belgium, and the Netherlands. So as we've discussed, the ban on European countries purchasing refined products from Russia comes into effect on the 5th of February. So I thought it'd be interesting just to talk about refined products to make sure everybody understands exactly what the process is and what refined products actually are. This diagram shows the process of converting crude oil into refined products and also gives us a breakdown of what those refined products are. So on the left-hand side here, we've got a barrel of crude oil, and this is what's being transported predominantly all around the world by most oil producers. As we discussed earlier, it's more efficient to transport crude oil and for countries to then set up their own refineries and convert the crude oil into all of the different finished products themselves. Now, for any oil experts that are watching this video, this diagram is obviously a simplified version of what actually goes on in terms of the treatment and the distillation process. So once you take delivery of your barrel of crude oil, as the oil is heated and treated, it starts to break down into different types of product. And the different types of oil are categorized as lighter at the top and heavier at the bottom. So in terms of the intermediate products, you can see at the first stage of the process, products such as propane, butane, and kerosene are produced. However, after further treatment, blending, and cracking, the end products the consumers want are produced, including gasoline, jet fuel, and diesel. Now, the reason that I wanted to show you this chart is you can see the multiple different types of products that are produced from a barrel of crude oil and the different processes and treatments that are involved in actually producing those end products. And this goes back to the discussion that we were having earlier about whether or not it's easier to transport crude oil or refined products. Because the problem you have with refined products is that there's lots of them, so they're all different types, and therefore they'd have to be transported separately. So that adds to the logistics and adds to the cost. And also in terms of dealing with the volumes, Russia would need to set up huge refineries to deal with the 10 million barrels of oil that it's producing every single day, if it wanted to convert all of that into the refined products. So it's much easier to take crude oil out of the ground and put it straight onto tankers, send it to other countries, and leave those countries to their own devices to sort out exactly what they want from the final product mix. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the ban that came in from the EU on the 5th of December is really starting to kick in now. We've seen from the charts that we looked at that there's been a big drop in the purchase of crude oil from the European countries. And that's resulted in a big drop in Russian revenues, around 100 million euros per day, which on an annualized basis is more than $36 billion. But obviously the results that we're seeing so far only relate to the ban that's come in on crude oil, because the refined products oil ban doesn't kick in until the 5th of February. And as we saw from the charts, it's much more difficult for Russia to be able to find alternative markets for those refined products. Firstly, there are multiple refined products, so it becomes logistically challenging to be able to sell all of the different gasoline and diesel and kerosene and butane and all the other things to all the different markets. In order to do that, Russia will need access to a huge fleet of vessels to be able to manage that whole process. And the problem that Russia is facing is that there is going to be a price cap introduced on the refined products on the 5th of February. Now, no details have been released yet as to what the price is going to be for that price cap, but it's likely to be set at a similar sort of level in terms of where the market is as what has been done for crude oil. So it's likely to be much lower than where Russia wants it, because these caps are designed to minimize the amount of profit that Russia is making to encourage them to stop the war in Ukraine. So once we hit the 5th of February, the full ban on the purchase of all Russian products will be in place for the European Union. And as we saw from the charts, more than 50% of all of the refined oil products are still being sold directly into the EU. Russia hasn't been able to encourage India and China to take more product because they've got their own refineries. They don't want it. They just want to take crude oil and manage it themselves. Firstly, it's more expensive to buy refined products. So if countries can do the refining themselves, then they will definitely do that. And secondly, from a logistical point of view, obviously it's a lot more hassle to have multiple ships coming in with lots of different products on them rather than one large tanker coming in and unloading crude oil. So this is going to be a major challenge from Russia's perspective. But the other big challenge that we've seen from today's video is the oil price caps. So at the moment, Russia is saying it refuses to agree to any of these caps. It won't sell to any countries that sign up to it. But the reality is that Russia is selling its oil at below that cap. So even though it hasn't signed up to the cap, it's actually abiding by the laws of it. Because if it tries to sell oil above $60 per barrel, then it will lose access to all of those services. And as we saw from the charts today, 60% of all crude oil is still being transported by G7, EU and Norway vessels. And around 80% of all of the refined products are using those services. So Russia doesn't really have any choice. I've talked about this in other videos. There's only a certain amount of capacity in the world in terms of shipping. And what we've seen over the course of the last 12 months is a complete change in the supply chain. So Europe is now having to source liquefied natural gas and oil products from other parts of the world. So they're getting it from the USA and Qatar and Saudi Arabia, variety of other countries. Now, as they've switched their supply chain, they've had to increase the number of vessels that they're using, because those products were previously being provided by pipelines from Russia. So replacing pipeline supply with seaborne supply obviously means that you need more ships. So the demand for global shipping has increased massively over the last 12 months. So it's impossible for Russia to simply be able to find hundreds and thousands of new ships overnight. They simply don't exist. So Russia does have a dependency on the G7, the EU and Norway, whether they like it or not. So they can say that they're not signing up to the cap, but actually the reality is they need those vessels to keep the volume of oil moving across the sea. Now, I've talked about this before. One of the challenges facing Russia is that they don't want to cut back on production. So they're losing all of their sales to the EU. They need to find alternative markets. If they can't, then they would need to reduce the amount of oil that's being produced because they don't have anywhere to store it in Russia. Now, if they do that, that could present them with some major problems because they've lost their trading partners. So companies such as BP, Shell, ExxonMobil have all left the country and they set up all of those drilling facilities in the past. And some of them are in really challenging environments, very cold conditions. So if you suddenly try to stop production to hold back the flow of oil, that's going to create problems under the ground, potential blockages, maybe freezing, cloggage, all of those sort of things. And the danger from Russia's perspective is that if they do that, then they may not be able to restart all of those flows and to solve any technological problems because they've also lost access to technology. So there's some major issues facing Russia right now. They need to keep the volumes flowing in terms of their exports. They need to keep using all of those ships. And to do that, they need to comply with the price caps. And there's a new price cap coming in on the 5th of February that will be applied to all refined products. And I'm pretty sure Russia won't like it. I'm pretty sure that they'll say they don't agree to it and they're not going to supply anybody that signs up to the cap. But again, the reality will probably be that Russia will have to sell below that cap in order to keep using those services, to keep the flows going, to keep the production going at home. So the overall summary from this video is that what we've seen in terms of the volume of oil and the amount of revenue that Russia is earning since the 5th of February is a dramatic fall. It's dropped from around 300 million euros per day to around 200 million at the moment. But it's likely that going forward, there will be further impact as the ban comes in on the refined products on the 5th of February. So Russia is seeing a large drop in its revenues right now, and it's struggling to be able to find a way around these oil price caps and the bans because there's simply not enough shipping globally to be able to cope. So I wanted to post this video to give you a live update as to what the impact is from the European ban and the oil price caps. You can see that it's now starting to have a real impact on Russia's economy, and it's likely that the impact is going to grow during the course of 2023. So as always, I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.